stood up there like a flasher. Get back up, man. That's too quick. All right, thank you. They read his reports in the Muslim Journal. Beautiful photos, good photos, and excellent reporting that he does. And really, every time I go out of the country, I want to take him with me. He's sensitive to it. His ears is sharp. His eyes are sharp. And his pen is good. Pen is very good. And camera is very good. So can't beat it. Can't beat that. Yes. So you get the reports in the paper. But I'll tell you this right now. Any of you try to imagine the beautiful garden of paradise in your mind. Let me tell you. You see what you see? Or are you still straining at it? Well, whatever you see, I can take you to something on this earth prettier than what you imagine. More paradise. More of a paradise than what you see in your mind. And I'll take you to the Sea of Galilee, to a hotel there on the Sea of Galilee, and you go there with me to the window and just look out the window. Beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful scenery, beautiful. Never seen anything like it. So beautiful and pleasant. If I had to design my paradise right now, I have to go by what I saw there. So I can't imagine anything better than that right now. Anything more beautiful than what I saw. They actually were hiding themselves from the Gentiles, the idolaters. Before they got in power, they were under pagan Rome. And there were other pagan lands all around. Greece. Why? Because the Christian doctrine was made to appeal to the life and appetites of the pagans. They saw themselves in Christianity. They saw their own life and their own interest in Christianity. And one of their teachers said, "Let us interpret and apply in principle what is pagan." What is pagan? So this was one of their teachers. His name is Basil. Saint Basil. B-A-S-I-L. Saint Basil. This is what he told the Christian world at that time, when he was there, when he was among them as a teacher and a great figure among them. He said, talking to the educated of them, he said, "Let us translate and apply in principle what is pagan." So there's another evidence to support what I'm telling you. Now, I don't speak just from guessing. I don't do that. I speak from knowledge. Only from knowledge. I never was satisfied guessing at things. I had to have some proof for it. Elijah Muhammad and his teaching made me like that. Had to dig and find truth. Not satisfied until there's evidence to support it. And don't think you're the only ones that don't know me. Really. When I say you, I mean people like you. The only ones that don't know me. All the high-ups in religion on this earth know me. Saudi Arabia leaders know me. The Vatican leaders know me. Egypt leaders know me. All the high-ups in this world know me. But you don't know me. How come? You can't read. Allahu Akbar. And that's the truth. I just have to tell you straight. You cannot read. You don't have the education. You don't have the knowledge. So you have to trust me. And those who don't trust me, they get nothing. They can't make it. No. No. You can't get it. You can't trust. How can you get it? You don't know. Who taught you? You might say, well, who taught you, Brother Mark? God taught me. God taught me. And the proof is it, the proof of that is that I give it and ain't no, can't nobody challenge it. And you could not come up with any explanation to even have these brothers give it 1 ounce of credit if it's against what I've told you. Just come on, try it right now. Come on, try it right now. Come up with something, explanation of what I've said to you. Something. No, you explained the wrong way. This is the way it should be seen, Brother Matt. Come on with it. You can't do it. You don't have it. You can't find it. It doesn't exist. We got some dead in here. They're dead. I'm their friend, but they're dead. I can't give life to the dead. No, I can't. Nobody can give life to the dead. Somebody say, oh yes, Jesus Christ gave life to the dead by the permission of Allah. That's what the scripture says. No one can give life to the dead. God. God gives life, God takes life. Only God gives and takes life. So if you're dead, there's nothing I can do for you. But if you're alive, I can reach your mind and you will have understanding that will free you forever. Yes. So these are the meaning. This is the meaning behind all this. You know, we do these things and no one will tell us the meaning. Why is the meaning be told now? I said, how come you, Brother Imam? Because I'm like Muhammad. I've been upright in my life ever since I've been born. I've never wanted to do anything but righteousness. God is my witness. I'm a human being. Certainly I've made errors. I've made mistakes. But my life is an excellent life. It's an exceptional life as an obedient person. My life. And I'm not educated by this world. I haven't gone to any religious schools to be taught. There's no one you can find that can claim that he's my teacher. He can't even tell you what I'm telling you. He hasn't got the ability to tell you what I'm telling you. No, I'm not bragging, but I'm just telling you the fact, the truth. There are none of my teachers that have the ability to tell you what I'm telling you. Jamil the Arab, he doesn't have the ability to tell you what I'm telling you. Muhammad Abdullah, my good friend that passed, he doesn't have the ability to do what I'm doing. No. You can't find my teacher, and you can't match my work. You cannot do it. Allahu Akbar. If all of you were sincere preachers in Christianity, all this place would be lit up. This place would be lit up. They can read better than you. They've been trained to read better than you. They can read and they know scripture much better than you. So I would have to hold them back from making me more than I am. If I would sit with them like I'm sitting with you and explain to them like I'm explaining to you. I could do it in the name of Christianity and become the biggest Christian on this earth. I know it. I know what God has done for me. So why don't you do that, Brother Matt? Because I'm Razuddin Muhammad. I'm a straight guy. I only do what is right. Some of you are afraid, you're afraid to acknowledge my leadership and what I am because you're afraid of your own conscience. You're afraid that if you acknowledge it, your own conscience will then make you follow me. And you ain't ready to do that. You're too weak to follow me. So you're trying to run from what I'm saying. You're trying to hurt. So if he convinced me, I'll have to follow him. I'm not ready for that. Ain't nothing I can do for you. And you weren't supposed to be here in the first place. The sun has been used also as a symbol of the rising and falling and resurrection of not an individual, but the whole society. And figures like Jesus are called the Son of Man, Son of Man. And also called the Son of Righteousness. Son of Man, but also the Son of Righteousness. These are titles for not only Jesus, but others were called that too in the past. Son of Man, Son of Righteousness. And we know that S-O-N has a definite connection with S-U-N. In mythology, the son of the god, in mythology, Egyptian mythology, and other mythologies as well, is also the sun, S-U-N, of the world, the light of the world, the sun of the world, S-U-N. So we know that this symbol with the sun in the context of our material world universe have been used also as a symbol of the person that God inspires and enlightens. And he becomes not only a single body, he becomes also a plural body. And he becomes the light of many, the light for many and the light of many. He become the light of the world. And Jesus said of Jesus, as long as he's in the world, he's the light of the world. That's said of Jesus in the Gospel, New Testament. So the sun then, in its rising and setting, in the language of Scripture, the sun is symbolic of the rising and setting of the rise and fall of nations. Not just individuals, or not just an ideology or word, but the rise and fall of nations. The sun is symbolic of it. And they go to sleep. And are not applying themselves. They're not busy taking care of any affairs. Nobody have their hands on any controls. They're all sleeping. And then they wake back up and go to their work. They go to their jobs. Some wake up and find they don't have any more jobs. They slept too long. So somebody has to help them find a job. Yeah, so this is the world. This is the way of the world. And I repeat, when we are going through the physical steps of our prayer, our salat, we are really acting out the fall and rise or renewal of nations. The great help there to us is to tell us that as long as you are reciting and conscious of giving and hearing and giving the Word of God, you'll stand. And when you stop, you fall. But if you acknowledge God is one, and that he has communicated to a mortal person, a man, a human being, something that the world couldn't give him, was not educated by the world. If you will acknowledge that, you can sit on the throne, Allah Akbar, and come back upon your feet. You sit on the throne first. Then the nation is brought up, raised up, right? Ain't nobody on the throne. You don't have no nation rising up. Praise be to Allah. So let's now leave prayer in its traditional meanings or sense, and let's go to prayer in the broader sense and understand why God says certain things here. All right. Okay. Now listen to this verse. 41st verse of the chapter called An-Nur, the light. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. See you not that it is Allah, that it is God, whose praises all beings in the heavens and on earth do celebrate? All beings in the heavens and on earth do celebrate. Did you know beings were in the heavens? And the birds? Oh, that's what it means, the birds. Are there birds really in heaven, or are there birds up in the sky, flying in the lower regions of the sky? All beings in the heavens and on earth do celebrate. And the birds of the air, with wings outspread, each one knows his own mode of prayer and praise. Now the word for praise is tasbihah. That's subhanallah, 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 alhamdulillah, 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 Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. All his attributed names. That's the way we do tasbihah, right? Says, kullun qad means definitely. Qad is a strong emphasizer. Kullun qad alima salatahu wa tasbihah. Every one of them, certainly, qad alima salatahu, knows his prayer. وَتَسْبِيحَهُ and his tasbih. So what is this? Birds, they do salat and do tasbih. I've never seen one doing it. So what is it talking about? You don't want to know? No, I mean some of them don't care. They don't care. You got a book that says their book, revealed book from God. From God? Have you registered what you're saying? A book from the one who made the heavens and earth, made the skies, made everything exist, and made it produce you, a human being, and animals and everything. You're saying that one gave somebody a book, and you ain't interested in it? What's wrong with your crazy head? You're in the wrong company. So I've never seen a bird doing salat and doing tasbih. So what is this talking about? Must be talking my people, huh? Talking my people. But it can't speak a language and that language be false. It can't speak a truth through a false language. You know what I'm saying? No, it's forbidden. God can't do that. God cannot speak the truth through a false language. So it also means that birds have their salat, and birds have their tasbih. But we have to understand it. We have to understand it. What is tasbih in its essence, in its meaning? What is tesbiha? Tesbiha is recalling, remembering, reflecting on the attributes and the power of God. That's what tesbiha is. So this Quran, God's revelation is called Quran, is saying that every animal, everything God created, has its tesbiha. Has its salat and its tesbiha. We know what our salat is. Our salat is what keeps us with conscious behavior that is approved by our Creator. Conscious behavior approved by our Creator, given to us, and approved by our Creator, and evolved by our Creator. He have caused us to evolve, to rise up, to become better and more human and more resourceful, more of a benefit to ourselves than the members of society. This is what our salat is, that gives us life, really. When we say, Hayya ala salat, that's the call to prayer. The brother gave a beautiful voice. Hayya ala salat. Hayya ala salat. What is hayya? Hayya is life. Then what is the call to worship in Islam? It's the call to life. Hayya ala salat is the call to life. So it is life. This is our life. When we become Muslims and we learn the Quran and our life begins to conform to what Islam wants for us as a life, we get a new life. So what it is saying is that the life established for everything, not just humans, is given to those things from God. And they have been given a behavior that keeps them in the life that God ordered for them. Mm-hmm. And that behavior was given to them from God. And they keep daily, like we are daily in prayer, they keep daily performing in the life that God established for them. They rise up in the morning as God intended for them to rise up in the morning. They go out and seek their livelihood as God intended for them to seek their livelihood. They come back the night at night and they socialize. And they finally go to sleep. And they wake up with the crack of dawn. With the crack of dawn. Just like you wake up with the crack of dawn. And they are Muslims, meaning that they're submitting to the will of God peacefully, as you're supposed to do with your mind as a human being. And they're doing it as animals. Birds, and different creatures, in the sky and on earth. You see the connection?
Yes, sir.
So actually this prayer for us is a bigger prayer. In the broader sense, our prayer is more than a ritual. Our prayer is our life. And knowing the disciplines of our prayer and knowing the message that's in our prayer can keep us in control of our own life, and we can protect it for ourselves and for the future. If you believe what I believe, and you find trustworthy youngsters in your family among you, and you pass this on to them before you die, we can have a conscious grip on our life. And no hypocrites among us could take us away from us. You think a hypocrite can have any chance with me? They know they don't. They never will approach me. They never will approach me. They know they don't have a chance. And that's what in the Quran, when the revelation had come so much to the prophet and to the believers, it was guaranteed that they couldn't change it. They were hopeless. See, they had despaired of all hopes to change you. And God says, this day have I completed my favor upon you, perfected for you your religion, and completed my favor upon you, and have preferred for you Islam as a religion.
Wow.
And before it said that, and those of the those who were seeking to divert you and take you away from this, they have despaired. They've given up hope that they can change it. Well, they have despaired of any hope of changing me. I guarantee you, brother. No. Father, Satan himself knows it's hopeless. And I thank Allah. Only Allah could do this.
That's
right. Now, when you read, does it have meaning? If it, reading it like you're reading bedtime stories or something, you know, for children. Seest thou not that it is Allah whose praises and whose praises all beings in the skies on in the heavens and on earth do celebrate, and the birds of air with wings outspread, each one knows his own mode of prayer. The poet, and praise, knows his own mode of prayer and praise, and Allah knows well all that they do. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And they don't produce any change in life. Their house stay the same. Their neighborhood stay the same. Their flock stays the same. No progress, like the ones who slept in the cave, with the shadow just passing by the hole. But when Allah bless somebody, that's yours, I'm yours. Who I belong to if I don't belong to you all? An African-American, son of Allah, Elijah Muhammad, son of yours, the one that leader that led you all, led me. I'm yours. Now, if you don't celebrate, and if you don't rejoice that Allah has blessed you with a person like me, who will? If anybody should be rejoicing, it should be you. But you.
That's right.
You're right. You're right. He says cowards. He's right. Cowards. And your weakness is your moral weakness. Moral weakness. Fear to be put on the spot. I welcome criminals to follow me. I just want them to respect me and accept that I'm here to help them. I invite criminals to follow me. And I never will ask you, are you stealing? Are you selling drugs? I will never do that. I invite you to follow me. Just don't embarrass us and put the stuff in here and don't bring it before my face. But I invite you to follow me. You ain't got to be perfect. It's not for angels. Angels are already all right. And when you see an opportunity for you to cut loose your bad habits and give your service to Allah like you should, then tell me, Brother Imam, I'm ready. I used to be this and I was that, but I've been with you, now I'm ready. I've cut that loose. But I ain't gonna put you out. You ain't supposed to be out. You're supposed to be here. Now, you won't understand this, some of you. If you're an African-American, you're not supposed to be with anybody but the Honorable Wadsuddin Muhammad. Now, I put it that way because that's who I'm with. I'm with the Honorable Wadsuddin Muhammad. And I'm with him not only as a believer in God, I'm with him as a black man that find the answer to all my questions and the answer to my wants in Imam Wadsuddin Muhammad's leadership. Yes. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. As Marzouk say in Texas, we're going to win this race. We'll never give up. We're battling to the last day. We're going to win this race. And we don't give up on our brothers and sisters. Never.
Walk on.
Never. Allah didn't bring us to life for us to forget about the dead that's among us. No. We're going to keep working to get them to see what we're doing and pray that Allah will help us turn their hearts, strengthen them, give them the courage they need to take a stand with us. And we're going to keep doing it until we're dead. We're going to work hard to leave others behind us that's going to do the same thing we're doing. You're talking about a 5-year, 20-year plan? We have a forever plan. And that's God's word. It's forever. It's not here for a certain time. God's word is here forever. And the prophet told us to live like that. Say, live, work and live as though you're going to die tomorrow. Though today is the last day. But at the same time, work and live as though you're going to live forever. So we work for the present and the long distant future. For as long as God deems it necessary, we're going to be on this earth working for His word and His kingdom that's supposed to be on this earth. So in the broadest sense then, prayer is conformity to the will of God in the life form that He created for you. Be in the life He created for you and perform as He designed for you to perform. And that is your prayer. Muslims ought to live constantly in prayer. We ought to have a constant life of prayer. Our life is a continuous prayer. We are to recall the words of God all times of the day, not just when we stand to pray. There are situations we are meeting all the time in the world. And if we recall the words of God, we will be able to fare better in this world, much better in this world. Are you seeing these things and they're affecting you and you're not recalling the word of God? The journey through this world is much more difficult than it would be if you were reflecting on what God has revealed. Then you will pass by a lot of things that may trouble your heart, and your heart won't be disturbed. Though you feel sorry for the situation, you won't be hurt so that you set back or damaged or crippled. No, you go through it unharmed. That's the tasbih. Reflecting. Recalling. So it's no accident that this is happening in this year, 1999, the closing of this millennium. And Hanukkah, Christmas, and Eid al-Fitr all occurring in this month, in this, at the end of this year. There's no accident.
No accident.
So go forward and don't be afraid. Go forward with what you know is right and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to do anything your heart or your spirit tell you to do. If it's good and sensible, your spirit or heart tell you to go to mama, that you don't believe will accept Islam, but something moves you to say, go to mama, talk to her again. Go to her and talk to her again. If something tells you, write a book. Put what you have in your heart and mind in a book. Find a way to do that. Don't sit around here and dry up with all this understanding in your head. Even if you disbelieve half of it. If you believe one-tenth of what I got you, man, what I gave you tonight, man, and today, you are ahead of most people in the world. In understanding. You're ahead of most people in the world in understanding. So don't fear. If you want to do something, Allah will be with you. His angels will be with you. So we got to do bigger and more things from now on. Bigger and more things from now on. We got to be much more productive as Muslims than we have been in the past. Yes. And believe me, God is with us. He's with us. All you have to do is have faith and go on and do it. Be intelligent. Be respectful. Care about everybody. Want everybody to have a good life. Don't try to disturb somebody's peace just because they don't think the way you think. Walk around their mind and just show them by example that here's something that you may find attractive. Don't disturb their peace. Thank you. God be with you and grant us success. Forgive us our errors and all our sins and make us the model community that will be an example to all the world. What Allah wants as a community for man on this earth, I mean. And then mercy, the feast come to heart, mercy will come to the unconscious. Who are the unconscious? The uneducated. But not just the uneducated in the society, the unconscious in your own life. You have habits that are not becoming of you when you know what God wants you to be. Bring help to the conscious, and the help in the conscious will reach the unconscious in your own self, in you personally. So don't try to take care of all of your habits by concentrating on, I got this habit. No, concentrate on consciousness. Increase your awareness of what God wants. Increase your awareness of what's written in this book and how it spread all the earth because of Muhammad being the man he was, and his followers coming to him of his like nature, men being attracted to him because he had the nature they love. So understand how that all happened. Be conscious of all that. And read the Quran daily. Say your prayers. And you don't have to worry about the little small things you're doing bad. They will start to go away. They go away automatically. Is that in scripture? Yes. Jesus took the disciples out, and he went out to see the disciples. They're fishing, and they weren't catching enough fish. They were having a bad day.
That's right.
So he said, "Cast your net on the right." And they cast their nets on the right, and they brought up fish in abundance. They brought up just great quantities of fish because they cast their nets to the right. Means work on the conscious side. And you'll get the big results. Don't worry about the unconscious side. That the religious world, that has any reference to what the religious world, everything has a reference to what has happened in scripture and what has happened in the history of religion. It has a direct reference to the religious world. The beginning of religion is the belief that one is special, one person is psychic, one person is more holy than the other, and that person knows how to lead the rest. And that person doesn't lead, in most of the religions, he doesn't lead. Advanced religion is different. But in these early religions, they don't lead by reaching you through the right or coming in through your consciousness. They reach you by coming into your emotions and coming into your superstitions. And that's how they reach you, to get you to obey them and follow the way. So they're coming from the left. Now, if the Quran has this reference to the right first and then the left, it must be talking about more than just bringing a savage from his superstition. It's talking about religion, emotional religion, that just works the man or person up in their emotions, get them emotional frenzy, so that they can drive the bad spirits out of them and get them to give up their mind that's in the way of God, so that they can say, oh yes, I confess. I'm ready. I confess the Lord. I'm ready. Take me. Take me. Put me in the water. Put me in the tub. Do whatever you want. I'm ready. That's fishing from the left side of the boat. That's greeting to the left first and the right after the left. You see? You're securing that before you secure the consciousness. Secure the consciousness. The consciousness will take care of the rest. Is that plain? You understand?
Yes.
Yes. So see, we're different. And what is in the Bible must be true. Says, put your nets on the back and you get more. Now, is Islam getting more or less than the other religions? Islam is becoming the biggest religion. It's been gaining all the time. Just keep gaining on the others. It's becoming the biggest religion, although most of those have gotten over the last 11 centuries or 13 centuries, and they're in the scrap heap. They're on the scrap heap, but they could be repaired. They could be recycled or something. But as far as converts, Islam is getting the most converts. So that's true, that if you fish on the right side, you get more. And I'm sure you of the Nation of Islam, you understand fishing. At least you understand something
about it.
Allahu Akbar. So that's the prayer. The prayer is to tell us that as God stands you up from nothing, from a lowly substance, a despicable substance, stands you up, forms you in your mother, causes you to be delivered out from your mother. And when you deliver it out from your mother, if you come out right, you come out head down, like Sajda. And it says, وَدْخُلُ الْبَابَ السُجَّدَ, and enter the door, making Sajda. That's a reference to how God brings us from the womb of our mother. We enter the door of the world. We go through her. She's the door to the world. And the baby comes out like that, with his head down. Turns over in the mother. The head down. Says that. You have to make sense of that to get into the world that God created for it. That God created for it. So God said, وَدْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدَ, mean the door that I'm offering you now. I offer you a world of plenty, abundance, and a good life. But come in the same way I made you to come into the world that you know. Come in, sujada, making sesta. And what happens? When we get the word of God and lose it, we go down to the bottom. But if we will witness that God is one and come to the right belief in God, the faith in God, we are able to sit on the throne of authority and we're able to greet left and right. And you don't stop. You know, we end that way. But most prayers have more than one rak'ah. So after you finish two rak'ahs of prayer, you stand for another one, right? You made your sajda. One rak'ah prayer. You make two of those sajdas. You stand for another. You make two more. You got four. You can finish a prayer. In fact, the witr prayer is one rak'ah, only one rak'ah, with two sajdas, right? You make one sajda, you make one another sajda, and you complete it with one rak'ah, two sajdas. That's a sign of the end of time. One standing and two sajdas, and you sit on the throne, and that's enough.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Right? So it's saying that only one of those sisters can stand the society up. I mean, only one of those rak'ahs. Two sisters, one rak'ah. If you will repent what you have done with the resources that God provided and turn to Him who made it all and witness that He is the God and Muhammad, a man, it doesn't just mean Muhammad, a mortal human being in His excellence is God's messenger. If you will witness that, we know it's Muhammad for us in the last days, but it was always man. It always has been man. Man and His excellence have always been the doorway for all other people. So if you witness that, then you can sit on the throne and bring peace to the heart, your heart and the heart of mankind, and greet the right. That means give your attention to them first. Bring peace and security to the conscious people first. You all looking for somebody that can't think. You imams, let's see now, find a black man that can't think. I want to invite him to Islam. Let me find one that's drunk, that's so doped up he can't see straight. I want to invite him to Islam. You look for the people on the left, when you should be looking for educators, school teachers, doctors, professional people. You should be looking for the good neighbor next door to you who've stayed there and have gotten no eviction notices for the last 5 years. You should look for conscious members of the society who can help hold up the left side so that the left will come to them. You don't have to invite the left. Give your attention to the right. When the left see you getting the right, they're going to salute you. And they're going to come.
The hell, I came for a job, man. Put that on the application, man. I'm ready to sign it. Yeah, these people ain't gonna be fussing with you if they see you got a life for them. You got accommodation for their life, a good life. They ain't gonna be questioning you. Now here we are. Now we know we ain't supposed to ignore the left, because the blind man, God actually corrects, rebukes Muhammad for preferring the company of the high ups to the blind man, or giving them attention rather than give attention to the blind man who was asking for his attention. But Muhammad was on his way to meet some very important people in the establishment of the society. So it was irritating him that this blind man was holding him up. So he didn't give that man attention. Knowing Muhammad the Prophet, after he saw those important people so he could help his society, he was going to come back and apologize to the blind man and give him attention. But God rebuked him and said, and you frowned and turned away when the blind man approached you. So God rebuked him for that. And so that's to tell us we have to give our attention to the right, because the people you're going to talk to, they're on the right. They're the people, conscious people, holding the society, working for to hold the society up. So God rebuked him because he turned away from the person on the left and who was asking for his help, and went to the people on the right. If while we are concentrating on the right, they ask us for help on the left, they ask for help on the left, we are to give them their attention. We have to give them help. We're not to ignore them. But we are not to make them the focus for our work and our labors, and our interest. No!
You make these conscious people the focus. And what about these conscious people? More of the conscious people are lost than the unconscious. Now, let me explain this. We okay? We all right? Can you get ready for breakfast? What time is breakfast? 2 minutes, right? Hey, what are you doing? You're supposed to say Subhanallah. You're supposed to say Allahu Akbar. You're supposed to tell me that I'm in violation. Bring me a date in the water quick. The sin is on you now, it ain't on me. Thank you. Hurry up, get the sisters, get some dates or something to the sisters, get everybody, get something. Don't have the sisters come to you. Take them dates to the sisters. Take them some. Paradise lies at the feet of the mother. Hey, you eating? You chew ass for prayer. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. There's no problem for you. Take your time. Just relax. There's no problem for you eating. I'm gonna begin, and maybe before I finish, we want to conclude everything at least by 8 o'clock. So that's about 50 minutes, maybe good 50 minutes from now. So, inshallah, I will finish in time, like after about a half an hour. And that'll give time for a few comments or questions. So you can keep eating because you don't have to ask, you don't have to talk, you won't have to use your mouth. You only in question period time if you want to. So you can just keep eating and just keep your ears open and eat. Now, When I concluded the other session, I mentioned the similarity between the Bible language and the language of Quran on help to the society. The Prophet in the Bible, he wanted help to come to the people of the society who needed help, and they weren't getting justice, they weren't getting the help they needed. wanted a society that was conscious, and a society that would take care of its poor, and its sick, and its widows, etc. And I use the wrong term. It's not prayer. In the Bible, it's fast. The prophet's describing what his fast is, or explaining what his fast was. And his fast was to help the same people that we are obligated to help, given in the statement of what righteousness is in the second chapter of the Quran. And it begins, righteousness not to turn your face east and west, which means righteousness is not in rituals or formalities, but righteousness is in good deeds to the people. When you do justice, do what you're supposed to do, answer the call of justice, and give charity and take care of the needy in the society, etc. So this is in the Quran, and this is in the Bible, almost in the same language, which tells me there's a correction, there's a connection,
And the Quran says, in the Quran, Allah says of the Quran that it is, that this contains the books in their righteous state. The books. It means books, revelation, revealed books that came before. The Quran corrects those books. And the Quran is the completion on scripture, is the final scripture. Therefore, it is a completion on scripture. So, if you wrote down prayer, which I'm sure you did if you took a note, just change prayer to fasting, I mean to fast. The prophet in the Bible does not say my prayer, he says my fast. I made a mistake. That was my mistake. My fast, not my prayer. So that wouldn't go under prayer. You wouldn't put that under prayer. Just put it aside as a separate note. It will go under fasting. It's very important to know that Muslim prayer, and there's only one prayer for us. This is not prayer. When we hold our hands like this, this is not prayer. Others call this prayer, but we don't call this prayer. This is dua. Dua means calling on God, appeal to God. This is appealing to God. Personal or group doing this, making an appeal to God. That's what this is, dua, calling on God. Salat is prayer, and Salat doesn't permit any language from us to come into it. It's the Quran. Our prayer is the Quran. Does it have a connection with Jesus Christ? That's what we're doing. We're showing the connections. Yes, it does. Peace be upon Jesus Christ. In Christianity, Jesus Christ leaves a prayer which the Christians call the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done, pardon me, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But it begins, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, Jesus himself in his flesh is symbolic, the bread, pardon me, is symbolic of his flesh, and his flesh is symbolic of the bread. And the meaning of flesh and bread is in the New Testament. In the New Testament, it says, this is not a Bible class I'm giving you. I'm helping you to understand Quran. In the New Testament, there is the Last Supper. The Last Supper. And Jesus Christ, according to the Christian language or religion, scriptures, Jesus Christ shows his disciples that bread is symbolic of his flesh and wine is symbolic of his blood. His blood. But now who is he? He's symbolic of something too. Then when you go and read the New Testament, in the New Testament, God says, in the Christian Bible, The bread is the doctrine. And wine is the spirit of the New Testament. The bread is the doctrine, and the wine is the spirit of the New Testament. So we can now, with the help of what Jesus already gave, according to the Christian report, we can now solve the whole problem, solve the whole question or the riddle, whatever we want to call it. He said his bread, his flesh and his bread were to be connected. And he said his blood and the wine that was served at the last time were to be connected. And the Bible says the flesh is a doctrine and the wine is the spirit of the New Testament. Then we can conclude then that when Jesus said, take this in remembrance of me, the bread he meant in remembrance of my teachings. The doctrine is his teachings. And when he said, take this wine in remembrance of me, he was actually saying, in remembrance of the spirit of the gospel that I gave you. Or we would say Injil, as Muslims would say the Injil, the spirit of the Injil. This is how we would say it. We would use this the term familiar to us, or that we acceptable with us. Now, just testing. Hey, you stop eating? Why? No. You can eat and listen. You can eat in this. Just don't chew so loud. We're making connections. Allah says in our holy book, Akim is Salat al-Dhikri, establish prayer for my remembrance. And Jesus said, take this bread and this wine for my remembrance, in remembrance of me. You see Jesus and Muhammad coming together? Yeah, he said himself and Jesus was coming together. That's what he said. That's one of his predictions. Peace be upon him. And peace be upon Christ Jesus. There is a statement in the Quran that the students of theology and Christianity, not all of them, some of them, have said it's proof that the Bible was forged and caused so many mistakes is made. Say, what is this about a table descending from heaven? So they say, well, the prophet just didn't get all of his information correct. The table of the Last Supper was not sent down from heaven. But they are the fools. They err because they're trying to find fault. You don't find the truth when you're trying to find fault. You find truth when you don't take a position. Then you find truth. But if you already have taken a position, you don't find anything but what you're looking for. Fault. And the fault is in your eyes. It ain't in what you're looking at. You couldn't see straight for looking for fault. You saw what you were looking for. So in my understanding, the table that God sent them down from heaven is referring to the table of the Last Supper. And it wasn't a real physical table. It wasn't a physical table. The 12 disciples sitting at some physical long table like they got, a wooden table like this. It doesn't really look like it, does it? Brother, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Where are the rest of those disciples?
They'd be glad that Judas is missing, aren't we? Praise be to Allah. Yes. So, a table being sent down from heaven doesn't mean the table came out of the sky. It means he revealed it. That's what it means. When it says he sent it down from heaven, means he revealed the table to them. That's what nazala means in the Arabic. Says nazala. It means sent down from heaven. Means he revealed it to them. Nazala al-Quran. He sent down the Quran. Means he revealed the Quran. No, a book didn't fall out of the sky. He revealed the Quran. From it means in value and in purity and in everything. It's highly elevated. It's high above our own ability to produce it. That's what it means by being up high, coming down from high. He revealed it to him. That's what it meant. So he revealed the table. And no way that this Quran could take Lot's wife to be important and not take what happened to Jesus Christ and his disciples to be important. You just have to make the connection. You can't do it without the help of God. The connections have to be made. This mic, yeah, it's still on. Yes. All right. So we're talking about prayer. That's what we talk. Keep in mind, we're talking about prayer. So Jesus said to pray to God to give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread means, you know, what is bread? Bread is a staff of life. That's what it's known as with the people of the book, known as the staff of life, bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And say he fed the people with two fish and five loaves of bread. Five loaves of bread. All right? And the bread, now we know from the New Testament that the bread is the doctrine, the teachings of Jesus Christ. You see the connection already, don't you? And it's plain and clear. And says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come? What is a kingdom? Mean an order for the society down here. As it is in heaven means orderly and peaceful and clean. The heavens above are orderly, peaceful, and clean. There's no corruption up there. So when Muhammad established the Ummah of Islam, the kingdom came, and God's will was done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm giving you the plain truth. Plain truth. So for Muslims, the answer is already here. They're looking for the prayer to be answered. The prayer has already been answered. And it's no accident that the Quran is called the book that is to be read. And it has the letters of bread in it. All you have to do is change the R for a B. And in some languages, the R is a B. And you got bread. It's no accident. God is in control of everything. It's no accident that the Quran is a book that needs to be read. And when God said to Muhammad, read, he said, bread. He said, eat bread, Muhammad. No, you're laughing, but the joke, but it's real. When Jesus said, eat, take this and remember me and eat this bread, the explanation we have established in his facts, it's proven by what I've given you, and I've proven it, already proven, I proved it. That he was telling them to
remember his teachings. And don't you read his teachings? And didn't Muhammad, the first word came from God, said, read? So where's the bread? Where's the true doctrine? Here it is. This is the bread. And we have to stand up and recite it in our prayers. How many times?
Five
loaves. And what is a loaf of play on? They say, in scriptural language. You're talking about scriptural language. You're making connections with scriptural language. Loaf of bread. Lofty. Loaf, lofty. The lofty word. Five times a day. Recited or read. The Quran. The book that is to be read. Yes, to be bread. So all of these connections are no accident. I wouldn't be able to make all these connections if that was just an accident. It's no accident. It was intended to be that way. God's angel protects God's word. God's angel protects his word. So they have fixed it. So whenever God inspires one, he will recognize that what God has guided to him is right. Because the angels have done things to make you, to make the person who was guided by God see, no, this is no accident. Now, you know, in English, bread means more than just bread, too. In the slang language, bread is money. And that's what we used to call it when we were young. Hey, man, got any bread? So this ain't no new thing that words mean different things and are taken out of the context that they are naturally in and put in a different or foreign context. That ain't nothing new. It happens all the time. And religion does the same thing. Or in religion, the same thing is done. A word is taken out of its natural environment, word and meaning environment, and is put in a foreign and strange word or meaning environment. And you have to know what it means in that new and strange and different environment. But the Bible didn't leave us without help. In the New Testament, read it for yourself. So give us a chapter and verse, brother and ma'am. No, lazy disbeliever. Find it yourself. It's there. In the Bible says, take this in remembrance of me. And then the New Testament says plainly, the meat is the doctrine, and the blood is the spirit of the New Testament. You got some preachers here, they know, they should be saying amen. They have read it. I'm talking about here, not outside. There's some preachers here that have read that and they know it. They recognize it. But they were just, they by me just like they was by Muhammad. Allah said in the Quran, and you know him just as you know your own sons. But you won't acknowledge him. I'm not the prophet now. I don't think I'm saying that I'm the prophet. No. But there are preachers in this community who know me just like they know that Bible. But they won't tell you all the truth. They won't tell you what they're wrestling with. But they use the help I give them. So Jesus Christ is a sign of what happens to any righteous person that helps people. He helped them, and what did they do to him? They robbed him. They robbed him. They took all his properties. But never acknowledged him. Yes. So when you look at some Bibles, especially old ones, good Bible a long time ago, what Jesus said were always in red. So that's another proof that his blood is print. His blood is reading. Yes. So that's very clear. Very clear. Now, he says, I leave this prayer with you, called the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. That thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, the whole thing is thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I have given you the connection and the translation of that. Connection or the translation of that, I've given it to you. And have given you the evidence to support my translation. Evidence to support my translation. Now you're going back to the church and going back to these preachers thinking you can get somebody to say, is this right or wrong? They're going to grade what I did, right? And you're going back to people who are liars, hypocrites, jealous, envious of my leadership and of what we are doing as Muslims. You're going back to people like that who's selling out the word of God, who sell the word for God, of God, as Allah says in the Quran, for a small price. Fleece their people. You're going to people like that to find the truth. Well, you must be one of them. Now, so our prayer, the meaning of our prayer is a kind of silent language in its movements, in its physical movements. It's a silent language telling the story of the fall and rise of society. The fall and rise of society. It stands on the Word of God. When we're standing, we're given the Quran. We're reciting Quran, the Word of God. It's what stands up is it being conscious of the revealed Word, the Word of God. If it loses its establishment and go down, back on its hands and knees to the ground like a baby again, what stands it up is its studies, putting its mind to the touching the floor, the ground, with your forehead and nose, is symbolic of putting your mind to the task of trying to extract a study or extract from God's material scheme, the material universe, the world, beginning with the one you're on, the piece you're on, called Earth, the Earth we're on, to extract from the material reality knowledge, information, something to guide us, something to give us perception of truth and reality. And when we set up after making sajda, and we set up in the last raka'ah of any prayer, two prayers or whatever, or one prayer, one raka'ah prayer, like the witr, the last section of the witr, we set up after making two of those bows, and we recite tashahud, we witness to God and witness to Muhammad the Messenger. And then we recite Salat al-Ibrahimiyyah, Abraham's prayer. Now, if we understand Abraham's prayer, we have another strong connection here. Abraham's prayer is not just for Abraham. It's really a prayer for Muhammad and his followers. But it's called Abraham's prayer because it mentions Abraham as the father or the leader. In our religion, the leader of the people of the book and us. So, O Allah, Allahumma, make Muhammad successful as you did Abraham and the followers of Abraham. Abraham and the followers of Abraham. So the followers of Abraham would be Jews and Christians, wouldn't it? Maybe some others too, but we know it would be Jews and Christians. The followers of Abraham would be Jews and Christians. As you did Abraham for Abraham and the followers of Abraham. And it says, then bless Muhammad as you blessed Abraham and the followers of Abraham. That's how it ends, right? That's how that prayer ends. So here, however God is to bless Muhammad and the Muslim Ummah, it does not differ in any way according to that prayer with the way that he blessed the followers of Moses and the followers of Jesus. And how did he bless them? With guidance, but also with a life on this earth. With a community life, with a social order, a society. They were made a society of Jews, and they were made a society of Christians. And God gave them land and authority in their land. Even the Christians, they had great lands and great authorities in the time of Muhammad. Rome was Christian. And you see, God gave Muhammad land. The peninsula that he was born on became Islamic. And Islam began to spread to other quarters and got land. But we're still here, right? In 1999. And we still say the same prayer, don't we? And we still have this ummah, don't we? And we still have the obligation, the duty, to establish this ummah as a model community for all people on this earth, don't we? If we get that, isn't he blessing us as he blessed the Jews in the past and as he blessed the Christians? That's what they have. They have community life. And they have their own models. The Jew wouldn't accept that they don't have a specific piece of geography for their model. 1947, I think, well, they went and got Israel. They got Israel established, a state for themselves in the Middle East. And the Christians have had these territories for 2,000 years now. They've had territories, and they've gotten bigger and bigger. You know, they've expanded Europe and here in North and South America and many other places. They occupy the land. They're the responsible people on the land. So Muslims are to be blessed the same way that the people of the book was blessed. The followers of Abraham, the Jews and the Christians, and Muslims now, we also followers of Abraham. And we have been blessed through the labors of our prophet and the good people that supported him to have lands where Islam is practiced. And the community of Muslims is a reality on this earth. People can go and see it. There's strong connection for Christianity and the people of the book. And even stronger connections for Islam and people of the book. And even stronger connection for Islam and Christianity and other Christian people. Stronger connection, much stronger connection. Give us this day our daily bread. If Muhammad is the last prophet, the seal of the prophet, and Jesus came, but as the Bible says, and as he says, and as it said of him in the New Testament, his light had to go out. His light had to go out.
You know, it says he had to die. The Bible, the New Testament says he had to drink of that bitter cup. He had to take the bitter cup, drink of the bitter cup. He had to die, had to go away. But it's not only put in that way that he had to send the cross or be lifted up upon the cross and crucified and die. It's not only put that way. It says that his light has to go away. And darkness has to prevail. So nevertheless, the Father will send you another comforter. And he's known as the Spirit of Truth. And he will lead you into all truth. And they try to say that this is the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. Yes, it's the Holy Ghost. But where is the human being for that Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost comes into a human being to do work. So where is that human being for the Holy Ghost? They say it's any Christian, all the Christians. That's who it is. The Holy Ghost coming to them, and that's the return of Jesus Christ. Well, how come the Catholic Church ain't trying to get the Holy Ghost in everybody? If that's the way they think he's to return. It's only those people who believe in that getting the Holy Ghost that's trying to do that. You know, trying to get people to get the Holy Ghost so they can get something, Jesus to come back in them or something, or to come into them. The Catholic Church ain't trying to get the people to have the Holy Ghost or to speak in tongues or get any Holy Ghost. They're trying to get the people to get a Catholic education. Yeah. Just plainly and simply put. That's what they're trying to do. So this thing is all messed up. Muslim learned teachers in Islam, the scholars believe that when the Bible says that there will be another comforter, the Spirit of Truth, it's talking about another prophet. Another prophet is coming. And the other prophet is thought to be the return of Jesus Christ. Many think that the one to come is going to be Jesus. It's the return of Jesus Christ. But who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is a mystery. And all we know of him is that the scripture says that he was born of a virgin without a father. And it says that he is a spirit and a word from God. That's what Allah said in the Quran. He's a spirit and a word from God. That's what he is. Spirit and a word from God? A word would be doctrine, wouldn't it? Bread. And spirit would be blood, wouldn't it? And blood would be the spirit of the word, wouldn't it? And the Bible says also that the life of the flesh is the blood. As the Bible says, the life of the flesh is the blood. And we know that's true, though. That's true. Because when you lose your blood, you lose your life. You can get a minor wound, but if you keep bleeding, you die. And what life you lose first? Up here. First thing goes your consciousness. When the blood is losing, you're losing blood, you lose consciousness. You feel weak and you lose consciousness before you die. You feel weak and you lose consciousness. The people who were given this language and knew this language, they knew also, they had known what blood means to a human body, to a body. And They saw blood and a life in a physical or a flesh body or a biological body as a good sign of the higher body and the higher spirit and the higher life. The Word of God that gives us life. And we have fed the Word of God
for our mind, spirit, soul, etc. And it gives us strength. It makes us more energetic. It makes us vibrant. Just like physical food affects the physical body, the Word affects the believer. The Word of God affects the believer in the same way. We take it into our minds, and it makes us feel happy. Just like eating good food. You all got so happy, you were just smiling and laughing, and nobody was making any jokes. The food was making you smile and laugh. You just feel so good. You felt so good eating that food after fasting. And you got new energy. You become more energetic. You're enlivened by food, physical food. And you're enlivened by spiritual food, the Word of God. Does the same, have the same effect. So that's why they make this comparison. And they put one language in the body of another language. Or put one meaning in the body of another language. And you read it, you're going to be thinking about the body. I said as a minister, but long before I understood how to read the Bible or how to read Scripture, I said as a minister, these beliefs in Christianity, I said, they are savage. I said, this ritual they got is a cannibalistic ritual. What a civilized, righteous people, civilized, intelligent, holy people look like going, sitting down in a ritual, going through a ritual that connects their behavior and their interests with that of the cannibals, savages. You say you're eating a bread that's his flesh? That's cannibalistic. And you're drinking a wine, you say that's his blood? That's cannibalistic. Purely savage and cannibalistic. It must have a higher meaning than that. They did that to fool the Gentiles, to fool the idolaters, who were cannibalistic and who did eat flesh and drink blood. They did that to fool them. Oh, we just like you. We really worship your way of life. We don't have our leader, but we're eating his flesh. This bread is his flesh. And this wine is his blood. So the Gentiles say, oh, they're like us.